Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines or Half-Butt podcast for episode 7. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Letcher. Allie, how are you?
I am doing very well, Brian. I've been looking forward to talking to you. Sorry, anyone who just watched the Periscope knows why we didn't record on Thursday. It was my fault, but I feel like we had the appropriate amount of time to really let this episode sink in.
This was an episode you really had to digest and maybe question your life morals, but yeah, definitely.
You know, it's funny, and we'll get into it, but I really had more of a problem with, like, I have problems with this and other things, but I felt more uncomfortable watching, like, the Naya and Sarah stuff for some reason.
Interesting.
Not that comfortable.
Right.
I'm gonna get some shit for this, but, yeah. You know what?
Wait, what do you mean?
You know what? I'm in the wrong
place. Sarah stuff? What was the Sarah stuff? Just him turning up? You were more uncomfortable watching her getting, like, berated by all of them?
I'm in the wrong place. I have to go. No, I mean, I just thought, like, this was tough to watch. You know what? It's apples and oranges. I just feel like I felt more uncomfortable in other moments on MTV. But
I guess that's fair.
Was this your, are you putting this at the top?
Of most uncomfortable? I don't think so. I mean, it was bad, but, like, there's been worse stuff that's happened on the show.
Before we get into it, the best stuff that's happened to us is that we got a bunch of 5-star reviews. You can subscribe and leave your 5-star or other reviews at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes or the main feed, robhasawebsite.com/wrapups, I think it is, with an S. So thank you to G Pervy 3, Molly CH, Adam OJ, G Billy 92, and CWH 25 for de love. Thank you.
Woohoo!
You remind me of Kazooie from Banjo Kazooie when you make that sound. For
I try to do it every
any
time.
N64 fans or fellow losers. Okay.
So right before we start, though, I just need to say something. No. Sometimes when we start these podcasts, I get, like, sort of nervous, but, like, I know that you always, like, come through clutch for me in the past, like, with all their beer pong games and stuff like that. So I don't really have that feeling right now. So I'm very confident with what we're
going on. For a second, I thought this was, like, really emotional and real. And I was like, oh my God, like, why do you get nervous? We've been doing this for, like, 10 years. You know what's funny? That was amazing. What was funny is I, like, understood what he meant.
In, like, some sick, twisted, like, bro-y way. You're like, oh, I
got
that.
No, like, I understood, like, how clutch it is when someone comes in and makes that last. Like, I haven't played beer pong in a long time, but I felt the sentiment more than if he was, like, when we were, like, doubles tennis champions, like, you were the clutch player. Like, I felt it was more universal to say, like, you were always that clutch anchor in beer pong.
And the best part was, like, he's like, yeah, clutch. I can see them, like, having some coordinated celebration whenever they play, too. So
when I figure out how to do things, I'm going to cut the clip of you just saying that I always help you out in the clutch. You just replay it as my ringtone. Do they still do that? Can you personalize ringtones?
I hope so. I would play the clip of TJ's ripping Anissa as my ringtone.
All right, let's get into it, because I thought he was pretty light on her for TJ. So this is going to be a doozy of an episode.
Lots to discuss. Yeah, so start up with really to jump straight in with Bananas and Vince coordinating the attack on Abram.
That was generous that you include Vince as part of that coordinating the attack.
Yeah, Bananas coordinating the attack and using Vince as his first in line.
Which was no surprise for listeners of this podcast and for you and I. But
no, we were all over that.
At the same time, it wasn't that good of a call because really Vince is Bananas' last minion in the house. And you know Bananas isn't going to do it himself.
No. There's no. Why would he put himself in that line of fire? No, you absolutely send Vince, and then just in case Abram flips the fuck out, you know, Vince is the one who gets.
Which is, but it is the same as, you know, it's the same as doing it yourself, because if he gets mad at Vince, you're out too. So it wasn't a surprise at all, but I wasn't, like, impressed that he got Vince to be able to do his bidding there.
And the best part of it all was Vince trying to pretend like he's doing this because he feels bad for Abrams. Like, yeah, I just, you know, I can't stand him walking around the house like this. You know, I just feel so bad for him. I really just have to enlighten him. I'm just being a good guy in this situation.
I do think it was the right way to do it in the sense that you, like, be vague and then disappear into the background. Like, don't make these accusations of, like, Corey and Nani were in bed together. Like, they slept together. Like, just be like, you know, they were in the bathroom for an undetermined amount of time. I don't know. You might want to just check with your girl. Just, I don't know. Like, I thought that was the best. It's like the set it and forget it method.
Yeah. He was almost too vague, though, because at a certain point, Abram was like, I don't even know what you're talking
Which
about.
Which is kind of perfect, because then he can't really say, Vinny told me anything. It's like Vinny made him just enough, like just suspicious enough to now put Kara in hot water. I thought you were going to love the bucket hat. I thought that was going to be the first thing out of your mouth.
No, I mean, it didn't get me. I feel like the bucket hat's been seen and done on MTV. That it doesn't move
if
the needle
no
in my
sandwich,
mind.
If there's no sandwich, it's no credit.
Yeah. It's got to be holding a sandwich and making out with someone the first time you meet them. And
all
then
right,
we
gotcha,
can start
gotcha. Were you surprised that Abe, like, had possibly the most reasonable initial reaction to a rumor in MTV Challenge history? At first.
That's the thing. He went through peaks and valleys of being, like, very calm, cool, and collected, and then looking like he was going to murder someone, and then being very calm, cool, and collected, and then looking like he was going to murder someone. Which is, like, the true mark, I think, of a psychopath.
I just think if Kara was, like, really willing to lie here, like, he would have never brought it up again. Like, I really think it was, like, hey, I know this isn't true, but I just want to raise it with you. Like, I get the source. Did this happen? And I'm not saying she should have lied, but it wasn't like he went ham right away from this information, which I probably would have. So, like, a little credit to Abram here before we get started.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he handled it kind of fine at first. I was surprised that Carr didn't flat out deny everything. I thought that was a little interesting. She was like kind of playing coy, like not, she didn't like admit to it, but she didn't deny it. And she was like playing coy. That was a weird move to start the accusation.
It's better
off.
Than, I agree that it was bizarre to like dip a big toe in the water and say you gave a massage. Like that's like.
Yeah. And egg sandwiches.
So there were sandwiches.
Right.
No, but like. I like it better, at least, than when, like, Tony and Tom, like, think they can just, like, straight up go into confessional, like, nothing happened. Like, nothing happened. I don't know what you're talking about. And even later, when Abe's on the bus and is like, you gave back massages, you got them. And he's like, where did you even hear that? And he's like, I got it from Cara Maria. And he's like, oh, shit. Like, okay. Like, I don't understand why these guys think they're on television and they can pretend like nothing has occurred.
They just want to pretend. I think they just have to try to pretend in the moment, right? Because it's a lot easier to hide from Abram when you're, you know, 400 miles away when he's just watching on TV.
Sorry for the phone ringing. I was getting a call from Adele, but I'll let it go to voicemail.
I literally didn't even hear the phone ringing. It's a way to call yourself
well,
out.
I've been
on
waiting
it.
For the phone to ring to make that joke for like 3 weeks now. So I was actually happy about it.
There you go.
Okay. So question from Curtis Barton that we sort of touched upon. Why did Vince go to Abram instead of Bananas?
Yeah, because he didn't, just in case Abram, you know, went nuts and started flipping tables and throwing stuff, he didn't want to be the one to take the rap.
I also think that maybe Bananas felt like, I know Bananas has said, like, Abe, I didn't know that Abe, like, hated me this violently, but he knows they don't have a good relationship. So, like, maybe he thinks, like, it'll be a more trusted source and that if his face is behind it, immediately people will just think it's bullshit. But I also don't really think in this situation it would have mattered. I can't believe that there was no even mention besides Kara initially being like, those guys are desperate. I can't believe that that wasn't brought up more like, hey, don't let this, like, don't let them get inside your head. Like, they're just doing this so that they can be safe. Like, don't let it deter you. Hate Thomas, but don't let it deter you from taking the shot at Vince.
Mm-hmm. This time I do actually hear the phone ring.
Hello?
No, I totally agree. I totally agree about that. And it's also kind of the effect of if Kara then denies it, then it really plays like really strong. Like, no, this didn't happen. That almost makes it like worse. Because if you can try to like pretend that nothing happened and don't tell Abram and that's bad. But then if he calls you out on it and you're still denying it and then like 4 months later he sees it, that's like doubly worse.
It's also bizarre that Abe confronts Kara in a group and forget the group setting, like, Tom is there.
Yeah, and his brother. And Kara kind of threw the brother under the bus, too. He's like, oh, yeah, I've been very nice to these two boys after I voted them in. And Steven was like, what? No, you weren't nice to me. No, I didn't have any part of this.
So true. I love Anissa, like, goes in confessional, like, I don't even know my name right now. I know nothing. Like, don't even look at me, please.
If there was a moment for someone to say, I'm not in the right place, Anissa should have just said that and walked out, right?
I just think you're frozen there. It's like deer in the headlights. Like, Abe, he's also being sweet, but you know something, and he's so close to knowing it, and he's about to go off. I would just, like, duck for cover in that situation.
That's the scariest part when you know someone's going to be mad, is when they're being, like, super nice and calm, and it's like, this is just, like, the build-up. Like, when you're going up the roller coaster, going very slow, very slow, you're just waiting for the dip.
Ooh, I just felt like that was a good descriptive language, Brian.
I'm bringing out my big gun for analogies.
All right, so unfortunately, Abe says, like, he trusts her completely, and then Kara's like, don't look at me like that.
Because you shouldn't trust me completely.
Oh my god, it was just so bad. Anyway, all right, so this is when the massage comes into play, and we get some kind of controlling, what some would say is controlling language from your boy Abe. And
he's not
just
my
in
boy.
General
get that out of here.
All right, so she kind of says, I was just doing whatever I could to make it to the end, and Abe says, rather than trying to kill him, you know what you're gonna do, you're gonna vote them into the elimination tomorrow, that's what you're gonna do.
He's just asking.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to leave this question to Daniel Westcoast on Twitter. How do you feel about Abe's treatment to Kara? I find it very creepy and fatherlike.
It was somewhat fatherlike. It was somewhat captive to captee. Like, it definitely was not boyfriend to girlfriend. Like,
Yeah, it's tough. So, like, a lot is going around on the interwebs that we'll address later of, like, Kara must be being abused. Like, I'm not, like, will, and I don't think you were saying this at all. I'm just saying, like, I'm not willing to jump to there's violence and abuse. Now, some people on our thread had amazing conversation, like, 25 comments long. Like, you guys are cool. Genuinely. And no, I didn't mean it like that. Like, you, I read the whole thing. I wasn't involved. It was like a long time after that I got to it. So, and there's some back and forth. Like, is she being emotionally abused? Because you can see her body language. She just kind of curls up. But in fairness to Abe, he does make a good point saying, have you met me? So,
right.
I can't, like, jump into their relationship, but this was clearly not a healthy situation.
No, the hot take city is that he, like, abuses her. That, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know that if that's the case or not. I'm just going to, it doesn't seem like that's the case. I mean, that's, like, a real step, I think, to take from this. But it's clear that they get aggressive when they fight. And, like, it's very, like, a lot of anger and loud voices, maybe, and weird situations. But the jump to, like, Kara's getting abused and need to call, like, protective services, I mean,
I also think it's more like, I also don't think that you have, like, a 10-year relationship with MTV while you're abusing your girlfriend and, like, they don't know or intervene and they still put you in this situation. You know, like, I guess I shouldn't have that faith in MTV, but I do sort of, especially seeing the relationship he has with that producer Booth.
He's the Abram Whisperer.
So I don't know. I think Kara has, like, tweeted a lot, and one of her tweets, I'm pulling it up now, was just like, I want to make it clear that, like, I'm not reading it directly, but she basically was like, I want to make it clear, like, Abe never has, like, put a hand on me. Like, he does not. All right, here it is. I promise I'm not being physically abused and have not been physically abused. I need everyone to know that. So,
can we just take a step back and think about the context of what just happened? We're watching an MTV reality show. And one of the contestants had to go on Twitter to clarify that she's not being physically abused by her boyfriend.
And it hasn't. This is not even close to the first time that this has occurred on reality television where someone has to defend their beau or their boo or their bae, depending on where you are from regionally.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough. This was hard to watch. And from what it seems like, Jamie knows Abe really well. Like, Kara's family and Abe's family are pretty intertwined from just some of the stuff Kara has said off air. And it's like, this had to be like very, very hard to watch for everyone involved.
I mean, this probably was an episode they were like, it's probably as best you just don't watch.
And definitely better that you don't watch together on live television.
Oh, man. The cutaways to the leading up to the after show were some of the more riveting stuff the challenge has done in
years. Yeah, like, they typically don't do that, but there was no choice. Like, it was like, oh, we're not leaving this on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I mean, they had to. Yeah, it was... The editing of the challenge this season is, I think it's been one of the best they've done, and just how they've constructed these episodes and stuff like that. Even like the teases they've done.
Damn it, Brian, we got a question about that and I didn't pull it, but it came up. Wouldn't you know? Sorry to the listener who wrote about that. I agree with you. I also think they have done a great job not spoiling things. Someone also wrote about that.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like we talked about with the whole Dario thing last week, how in the season on they show Dario celebrating, but it turns out they weren't celebrating.
Kristen Kinnara wrote that exact thing, but I'm not 100%. Okay, so let's get on the bus here, literally put ourselves in the shoes of anyone on that bus besides Abe. I have no idea what the hell he was saying. I wrote the whole speech down because I just wanted to like do a close reading of it.
Did you get anything from reading it in your own voice rather than his voice?
Absolutely not. It was so bizarre. I don't understand. I understood the concept, right? He comes on and he's like, I want to expose that Kara does not have the close relationship with Thomas that she thinks she does. And instead, or not instead, I guess, to do so, he stands up in front of the whole bus, to borrow language from Johnny Bananas. He has a captive audience. And he says, I want to make sure I'm understanding that if people that I know are trying to hold up their promises that actually, like, do well, I want them to be aware of the fact that they're being lied to. Steven says, by who? Abe says, by you guys. Steve says, I'm not lying to anyone. Abe says, so you got promises here, you got promises there. So which team are you lying to? It's poetry in motion.
Yeah. Hey, Abe's a soulful
person.
Break
that down for me, please. Riddle me that.
I mean, the words he was using, I wouldn't really go there. But I mean, I understand the point and like the objective he was doing. He was trying to call out Thomas and Steven on that, like, not a national stage, but like a group stage, to show to everyone that they're not who they say they are. But I mean, even in, like, them saying that they have no promises, like, did anyone really take that to heart? Like, oh, Thomas and Steven are these conniving little liars. Like, I just seemed like he was just doing that for Kara's intent, right?
It was bizarre. Like, I think Abe being there destroyed Thomas and Kara's relationship anyway. And if anything, like, Thomas became an ally. And okay, if now that you know this information, you want to dissolve that relationship, I don't know that you needed to, like, do this grand, like, exposing effort on the bus. I do think that genuinely Abe was just more motivated by heartbreak than anything else. And we get a couple moments where he's just like, oh, I don't care. Oh, I do care. Like, and you can just see that, like, behind these, like, grandiose game moves or these, like, crazy father-like speeches he's giving to Kara, like, he really is broken up about it. Not that that's an excuse, but I just kind of think that that's why his, like, wild and erratic behavior is the way that it is.
Right, and that's why I was, like, throughout this episode and the after show, I was, like, torn between, like, feeling bad for him, but then also, like, being petrified of him and being worried for Kara, like, he's, or maybe more for Thomas, like, because he was, like, very, you could tell, like, they did have love between them, and, like, he was like, oh, if this is love, I don't want it, you know, I still always love you, I still always care for you, and it's like, oh, poor Abe, and then it's like, yeah, we probably shouldn't show the clips because I'm going to smash this table over Thomas's head. So it's really hard to feel bad for him when he's making comments like that and showing up with neck tattoos.
Which, I need some clarification, because his Twitter profile picture is him administering that tattoo himself.
Yeah. No, that you got it. You got it right. He self-tattooed himself on his neck.
That no is cutthroat. Legit.
Yeah. Literally cutting his throat. I can't even imagine, like, what goes through someone's mind and they wake up one morning and they'd be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tattoo my neck.
I really think, like, he right? He's the person who like cuts his shoulder every year to like remind himself that he's human or something like that. That's him.
Yeah,
so like I feel like he keeps doing these kinds of like self-mutilation activities that relate to him challenging himself. I don't know. His therapist like is not getting paid enough. But
did you see Kara posted about that she is a therapist?
That she is a therapist or she has a therapist?
No, she is a therapist. Well, she like has people, she put out like a number or something like that for people to call her to like go through their issues.
That's the blind leading the blind, but maybe I'll give her a call.
Because imagine like, I'm like, what if like Abe picks up and you start talking to him about your problems?
Then you suddenly have another problem. Yeah, I just lost so many things just affected me.
Are we still on the bus?
Something you said was great and I had a response, but I went with the neck tattoo instead.
Well, I mean, everything I say
well,
is
something
great.
Specifically, but I got sidetracked by the neck tattoo. So anyway,
just a quick aside. Do you notice whenever Steven talks, he always has like his chin up. Like he's like, you know what the phrase like keep your head held high? He really takes that to heart, I feel like, when he talks. He always has like his chin up. He's like really talking like proudly.
I'm trying to think of that interesting thing you said that I wanted to respond to. No, I'm just kidding. No, I haven't noticed because I honestly am just so between Twitter and taking notes and watch it, like I'm just such a mess that like I only get the Mitch stuff when I watch it a second time and I didn't get to watch this episode a second time. So I'll look back on Steven watch and Mitch watch now. All right. So Abe and Kara have this like crazy conversation. What I got from it is that we do learn that Abe did want to be thrown in. So we did discuss like Mike, Abe potentially being mad that Mike wanted to throw himself in. Abe was on board with that.
Yeah. And you know what? I kind of understand it if I was thinking about Abe, because I don't think he really cares about winning this show or anything like that. I think he's on here just to like cause havoc and do these challenges or whatever. And I can understand if he brings his brother on that he wants him to share an experience with him. So I actually do sort of understand that he's happy that or is fine with Michael throwing himself in.
Yeah, it's hard for me to put myself in Abe's shoes, but I agree with what you're saying in the interpretation. I can't get there. I need to do some more like finding myself and some like meditation or something.
Right. Weird.
Then Kara, in front of Bananas, is now having a conversation about her only coming into the house to get Bananas out. Like, Abe, you knew you wanted to get Bananas out. Like, you say he's the worst. And this is what's amazing is like Bananas should be loving this, like licking his fingers, relishing every moment, because his plan worked. Like, this is exactly where he has them, exactly where he wants them. He cannot help himself but to shout out the feelings mutual. Like, I don't blame him, but you gotta just like zip up here.
He has to inject himself into every, especially when he knows like this is a big TV moment. He has to inject himself in it, especially when it's one that he caused. He's not just gonna sit
there. I agree. I like don't blame him at all, but I'm just like, oh, be quiet. You're getting what you want. Don't let them remember that you exist. Like, don't let them remember.
Yeah. I think even like either Thomas or Steven had that exact confession. He's like, don't let Bananas slip by. This is our chance. And nope, he slipped by.
Okay, so one thing here, my interpretation here, and it gets different, I guess, towards the after show, but I didn't think that Kara was terrified of Abe. I think she was more terrified that Abe was blowing up her game in this moment. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's fair.
But we'll see. Then we get our first after show bit. Snippet.
Yeah. With the legendary
Oh
booth.
My god, it is crazy when he's like going ape shit and he doesn't want to be in his room by himself and then he just starts laughing maniacally. Those are some swings, man.
And then he goes, yes sir, no sir, okay sir. Abram's a weird dude.
He would have been perfect at this challenge with all the swinging he does emotionally if that translates physically.
Shall we go with that?
All right, let's get to my girl Anissa here, because I feel like there's a lot to discuss in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll start with the challenge this week is hand me down. They're on the tallest building in the country, or two of the tallest buildings, and they have to swing across them to get to the other side, 600 feet in the air. And Anissa wants no part of it.
So it's a couple. One thing I will say is, she does, like, I wonder if they put her first because they just thought she was going to do the worst, or if she was like, I'm going to go up there and not do it. So put me first so they don't get the advantage of seeing someone go first. Like, because the red team loses their advantage here.
No, I'm not letting her get a strategic.
Hold on. I'm talking about the team.
Strategically quit. There's no way I'm letting you pull that.
So let's start again. No, I said, and I'll get to the rest part, but I'm just saying, I'm not saying her not going with strategic, although she is saying on Twitter it was strategic because, well, we'll get to this part. What I'm saying here is, was putting her first strategic on her team's part? Did she say, look, there's no way I'm doing this? So they were like, all right, well, then just go first so that at least they don't see anything. Or did she decide to quit when she got up there? That, I'm not saying her quitting was strategic. I'm saying, was her going first strategic?
I think she quit when she got up there, because when she was up there, they're all cheering her on still.
We'll get to her part. All right. So then it is shameful. Like, I'm afraid of heights, but this is not your first rodeo. It's like building a fire on Survivor. Like, know how to deal with it before you go out there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to defend her not doing it as strategy, and we'll debate what she says about it later. What I will say is, I don't think TJ was nearly hard enough on her.
I thought he was decently, like, good hard, because he didn't get, I think the most upsetting you can get is, like, when you're not angry, but you're disappointed. And that's, like, what he was. He was just disappointed in her. And that, I think, stings the most.
So she had a lot of things to say about it. But one question is, Molly Block wants to know, has TJ ever blatantly judged someone so hard as he did to Anissa for not being willing to attempt the challenge?
I think the pinnacle, it was the one that, it's like, just happened, like, last season with Jay.
Yeah.
I mean, he eviscerated him to the point where I don't know if Jay can ever just come back to the challenge because of how bad TJ ripped him apart.
I don't think Jay can come back to the challenge because I will stop watching the show.
That's also a fair point.
I'm trying to find. So she wrote, hey, folks, I had to do what to do. I think she meant I had to do what I had to do. Y'all will understand soon enough. And then she said, I love TJ Lavin. He has always had faith in me and I can't blame him for being disappointed. Shit, I am too. But I was thinking about the game. And TJ wrote, all love, girl, emoji, kissy emoji.
He's big on the kissy emoji.
Yeah, he gave
emoji.
You one.
I thought I was really special. He did it to me when he tweeted me back. And now he's doing it to everyone.
All right. So we agree that it was pretty shitty of her not to do it. Now, let's get to the concept that I actually had a conversation with one of the attorneys I work with at work about the challenge. We basically did like a 30-minute podcast where we were just talking. I was cheating on you. I hope you don't smash his head in.
I'm going to rip put his table through his head.
And he was like, am I misunderstanding the format or do the challenges not matter? And I was like, no, you are not misunderstanding. And in this case, I want to talk through why Anissa could have potentially been doing this, besides the fact that she was scared shitless. Okay. But I think she has done height challenge. I mean, she did height challenges before this season. And I'm afraid of heights. It doesn't matter if you're 30 feet off the ground or 300 feet off the ground. It's terrifying. But it was a guy's elimination day. So she had nothing to lose. Is there someone on the other like, was she protecting bananas? I don't know.
I would love to give a reasonable explanation as like, even give her, actually, no, I wouldn't want to give her a reasonable doubt. But I'll offer up a fair one, but I can't, because there is no explanation for why it benefits her other than her not having to deal with being 600 feet in the air.
She's on the red team, correct? Blue team.
No, she's okay. On blue.
So if the blue team loses, I'm just trying to like feel it out. Like, I'm not saying there is one. I'm saying, can we come up with one? The other thing is, does she want to look like a goat? I think she is a goat, and I think her competing in the challenge would have made her seem like a goat anyway. But does she want to look even more like a goat as much as possible? Like, I'm not even willing to do this challenge, so take me to the end because you'll definitely beat me.
That's a stretch. I feel like
I also think just in general she has nothing to gain from doing this challenge, so it's almost on MTV.
But she has nothing to gain, but the only thing she has to gain is just not being mocked and ridiculed.
Was she mocked and ridiculed? Do you mean by society or you mean by TJ's like, there's no quitting?
By TJ and
he doesn't
society.
She doesn't care about what TJ said. She was like, there's no quitting, and Anissa's like, there is today. I don't know.
I just think it's a weak move. Like if you, like I understand like it has no real impact on your game, but like if there was any strategic move, like it was like, oh, like I am trying to save like my bloodline. Like if she had like a male bloodline partner, I'd be like, oh, that's actually not a bad idea because now you might just be saving him. But she doesn't, and I don't even know who her alliance she would be saving. Like her Bananas and Vince, they're both guys, so they were both up for elimination anyway. So I don't know who she potentially would be trying to say.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I just wanted to see if we could come up with something because she's claiming that we will find out. And I would like to bet that we do not find out and get no explanation. That makes any sense.
No. I mean, I guess like the best one is what you said, that she just wants to appear super, super weak so no one even thinks about voting her in. But at a certain point, there's only, what, like three girls on her team? So like a girl's elimination is next week is a very good chance she's just thrown in just because,
or whoever gets thrown in is going to want to go against you, although she'll always have her size, which like makes people like Brianna would not want to go against her. I mean, I forget what team everyone's on anyway. The format is shitty.
Brianna's on red because she's always no, Jenna's on red. No, Brianna's,
well, no, because Jenna goes in, right? So she must be on blue. Who can say? Okay, we're gonna break down who's still here and the power rankings and everything later. But speaking of, the only real reason it would be to back out strategically is if you're a guy and girl. That brings us to Cara Maria.
Yeah, this would be the perfect scenario where you do step out and don't do it. But it just comes down to they're just competitors. They don't want to look bad. This is just like not a once in a lifetime opportunity, but like a 10th opportunity in a lifetime. And they just want to compete and have fun.
Nah, I think that she should have fell. I think she should have taken a dive. I get why she didn't, but I don't think that was a good move or strategic move. I think in this situation, like she should fall every guy girl pair should take a, like, fall on their sword when it's not their elimination day.
I mean, I totally agree. It would be a lot smarter for her to fall, but I get the reasons why she chose not.
Personally, I don't, but it is Cara. Like, I would never do that. I don't think that she would look bad for saying, like, I'm going to go down this week because I want Jamie to be safe. Like, I would respect that a lot more than, like, I have to make this last rope across.
Right. But then let's say she does that, but her team still wins. Does that open up Jamie more to be voted in?
I think if you make it possibly, right? But if you, I just don't think that, I just think for some reason, Cara is always under the radar in terms of like underestimated. I don't know. I guess it's like she has the numbers on her side still, potentially. I don't know. That's interesting. Maybe. Depends on how badly she goes down. Maybe you can't do it every week.
I mean, it just seemed like no matter what was going to happen, it was going to be the combination of April, Mike versus Steven and Thomas. Like, no matter what.
Okay, so speaking of Vince, which no one was doing. so Vince takes a Tarzan approach across here, which to me is like screams rookie move. And
it screams hard-o move.
Nick Sabetta wants to know, how surprised are you with Vince's poor challenge performance? Bananas is such a strong competitor. Why not vote Vince in so they have a solid chance of eliminating them?
Yeah, I mean, if you try to get Bananas out, the move is 100% to try to get Vince in elimination and have him do something stupid. Because he may have, like, the size and the strength, but he clearly doesn't have, like, the brains and intelligence of how to do these types of challenges.
One thing, I'm going to put a season-long prediction in. I don't think Vince will be this bad moving forward. I think this is the one time where Vince will be this easily eliminatable. Is that a, like, I don't like
vulnerable.
No, but like, I feel like it would be easy to beat him in elimination because it would be so easy to just outsmart him. Like, I don't think Vince comes back next season and tries to Tarzan swing across. Like, I'm hoping for the future of the show that Vince does not keep his ego driving the bus here and starts using at least his teammates' brains. Because he did not go first.
No, he was, what, like fifth or sixth, Stevie, maybe even later on. Like, he saw
how to
do it.
It was pure ego. It was just pure ego. And I am hoping and thinking that he will not be this bad moving forward, but now is the time to strike.
Right. And as always, it always comes down to just, like, what the elimination is. If it's something where he could just use his brute force and that's all the challenge is, you're in bad shape. But if it's something where there is, you have to be a little bit of calm and collected and think about the things that he can easily get flustered and screw up.
The only other thing that I got from the challenge was just like when Mitch goes, everyone across blue and red, across bloodlines, is cheering for Mitch because it's just so pitiful.
Because he's a scrappy little underdog. Oh, it's like, oh, good old
he's
Mitch.
He's a drowned cat. I think Corey nailed that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt so bad for him. After like two ropes, he was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Cuts like commercial, cut back. And
then TJ gives him the worst thing you could get from TJ, which is like, oh, good try.
Good try. And then a laugh. Oh. I mean, I don't know how you recover from that.
Anything else from the challenge?
No, it's just amazing that Red has won every single challenge.
It's almost like how people thought your team was stacked for fantasy. And then I kicked your ass. And it's similar. You know, they are to fantasy. Well, I am to the red team as you are to the blue team.
To be fair, I guess you are kicking my ass, but I don't remember people saying my team was dominant. Didn't you have a vote and your team won?
Yeah, but a lot of
people
voted who don't watch the show or listen to the podcast.
just a vote for you.
So yeah, but people in general who commented were like, Ryan. No, I'm just kidding. I said it.
Is that the voice of
our
commenters?
It was a self-assessment.
Fair. You are kicking my ass in spectacular that.
Okay, so deliberations. Kind of uninteresting here.
Yeah, it was super uninteresting. I mean, the one interesting part, I think, I mean, obviously Michael votes himself in, so that was nothing. But, I mean, Thomas choosing to vote Jamie. Like, where does that rank in the stupidity?
Number one. Right, just a hair below Rafi, Dario chest bumping Rafi out of the game.
And his confessional is like, oh, when someone comes after me, I'm going to do my best to make sure Steven doesn't get voted in. And it's like, what are you talking about? This is the exact opposite of trying to keep Steven out of elimination.
Who should he have voted for? I think somebody needed to say to Abe what Kara was like almost saying, which is like, look, man, you don't have to like me. Like, we don't have to get along. You can get me out next week. But maybe Jamie should have said something to Abe like this. Like, but Bananas played you. Like, this is exactly what he wanted. Let's stay together, get him out, and then you can kill Thomas. Like, did anyone try that? Like, was there an attempt and he was just, like, bloodthirsty for it? I don't know.
The move, the 100%, you say we should vote in Vince. That's 1,000% the move.
No, but I just think it wasn't going to happen from Thomas voting Vince in that moment. Like, I think it needed to happen from, now I'm convincing myself, like, Jamie talking to Abe.
No, I think Thomas should have been suggested that we vote at, that we target Vince.
Yes, I think, sure, that would have been better than targeting Jamie, but I do not think there was any situation where they walk into deliberation, Thomas says Vince, and Abe's like, oh, what? You know what, man? You got a point, Vince. Like, somebody needed to go to him that.
Abe was 1,000% going to vote for Steven, but Thomas has to be like, and try to talk reason to Carr and be like, no, this is our plan. We have to get out Bananas. And then Carr could even spin that and be like, I know you wanted me to vote for Steven, but this is like, does Gus get money? Like, Vince was the one who started this whole thing. Like, we have to go.
That was never happening. Like, that was never happening.
There's a mini spin job you could potentially try to do.
The spin job is Jamie goes to Abe and says, look, man, this is what's happening. He played you out. This is what's best for the game. You've been gunning for Bananas. Let's let your brother take him out, and then we'll handle the small potatoes next week. Like, I think someone needed to talk before deliberation to him about this and then let Abe be the first person to call out. Like, I just don't think that there was any situation where Abe would have allowed him and Kara to go along with Thomas. And Kara would never in that moment have said, you know what, Abe, I know you want me to vote Vince. I know you want me to vote Steven, but I'm going to vote Vince with Thomas. Never in a million years. No spin job. That was not happening.
Probably not. But I still think that's like still a better choice than just saying, oh, Kara, I'm going to vote in your cousin. And she's like, oh, great. Now I can just vote in you without feeling bad about
it. 100% Thomas was a bonehead and should have just taken a stab to vote out Vince. But I think that, I mean, I've said three times now, like, someone should have spoken to him first.
I mean, the move, like, after 10 minutes of this episode, because it was a guy's elimination and because both bloodlines were both guy pairs, 100% this was going to be Abram and Michael versus Thomas and Steven. That was just the way this was going.
Right, but I still, what's the problem you have with Jamie trying to talk to Abe?
No, I don't have a problem with that. I just think there was going to be no talking Abe off the ledge of voting in Steven. I think there was a better chance of getting Kara to do it and then getting other people around them to not Abe. Because Abe was a million bajillion percent voting in Steven.
Thomas was a fool, but anyway, let's just move on.
Also, just going back to that quickly, just if Jamie and Abram do have any type of decent relationship, I guess it's possible, but I don't know like how close they actually are.
Right, but who cares? It's closer than anyone else, you know, like he knows her, he knows him, and so Jamie's one of the only people Abe doesn't want to kill right now, potentially. So if we're talking about a Hail Mary, which I think we are, I think that was the best try. I don't think there was a prayer, even if Thomas, I know Kara was pretending to entertain it, but there was no chance that Kara was going to like go against Abe here. If anything, Thomas made it easier, but she was going to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
All right. So then, God, I wrote nothing down until the pit. I just get so bored with these like pep talks they give each other, like the beer pong. And I just think these like little pep talks are such a waste of the time.
Oh, yeah, they're a bit much, yeah. I mean, Abram kind of giving Michael a heads up that he's going to go absolutely apeshit during the elimination. And Michael's like, yeah, no, that's fine. That'll get me psyched up. Little did he know. Did you think he knew how crazy Abe would go?
I definitely don't think this is the first time he's seen Abe like this. I would say it's not even the 100th time. Like, but I just do want to say, to go back, when I wrote down a note about the beer pong, I have written in my notes, but also I get that.
I mean, when your partner hits that last cup, it is like a bonding moment.
The pit was Thomas and Steve must have walked into that pit and been like, fuck.
Yeah, this was set up perfectly for just the Michael bloodbath.
For the ladies, Mike is very cute. And I did not notice it until maybe just compared to Abram, like when Abe was like licking his bloody nose. Maybe that's the key. Like, people have to go out in bars with like a psycho person, and then they look so much better by comparison. But
so either bring like a cute little dog with you, or bring a psychotic guy drinking blood. Like, either one of them will make more attractive.
Cute dog, you'll look worse by comparison.
Okay, all right. But does that draw the person in?
We'll have to send you out into the field with a cute dog.
I'll do some field work. Yeah.
All right. So my favorite moment of the episode. No, it's not Jen and Brianna spinning in the background, twirling the terror away. But it is Steve and Thomas's like interview right before. And they're like, I'm not really worried. And in the background, they're just like, I don't want to do it because it won't be pleasant on the mic. But just like the pure rage and adrenaline coming through that you can hear it in the interview.
He's a dog barking. That's what he was doing.
Oh my God. All right. So as we say, it's a complete...
I'm not scared.
It's a complete bloodbath. We have a couple questions about this situation. Allison Smith wants to know, do you think Steve should have done better at this elimination considering he's a state champion tennis player?
His endurance was pretty high and he should know how to swing things better, but
Jenna's got all the answers. Like, he just needs to make his noodly arms muscle.
Noodly arms. Jenna's been on fire. You know what? I'm all in on Jenna. She's been great.
I will say, though, Brianna was not did not say a word this episode.
The supposed
narrator. I think it's just like, if you say something, the opposite occurs the next week. Everything, obviously. But Brianna being the narrator, that was so fun for me when you said that. Let's reminisce.
That's not. I don't know how I talk myself into being in the Brianna corner, and it's like the one of the. I think it's worse than my niece. I don't want to be in that corner ever again. It was a dark place.
So, Abe is almost having the reverse reaction of Dario, where like when Mike is like gloating a bit right before he destroys TJ, he's like screaming at Mike at the idea that he would celebrate. I love that.
The whole thing was just... I wish I had like the entire clip of him going nuts just to use as like motivation for whenever I'm like, need to do something in life.
I think Abe should have gotten it. You killed it here.
Yeah, Abe should have gotten it. He should have. I mean, he almost killed himself.
And then I think we should end every podcast with a celebratory headbutt.
That looked painful.
Head to head.
Oh my God. I'll headbutt my mic because that's got a nice.
He clearly hasn't seen Concussion. Tell the truth.
Oh.
I love that. I saw that movie. So. And if anyone watches Doug Loves Movie, he says that all the time. Anyway, okay. I'm just ripping off podcasts all day.
Well, we should do a podcast where we talk about podcasts that rip off podcasts.
Zero earbuds. So another question from Kristen Kinnar. Would you give up your firstborn to have had Abe and Thomas compete in that challenge instead? Or is it just me?
Not this challenge, but I would have given unforeseen amounts of money if they could have, those two would have competed in like Hall Brawl or something.
I would not have wanted to see that. I think that's where I draw the line. Like, if you're taking someone who has made like literal like death threats against someone and you're going to put them in a physical situation, like, I wonder if that's why this was like not a physical challenge in case.
I mean, if it was Michael Steven, like, it wouldn't have been that drastic. I mean, it's Michael would have won, but they wouldn't have had the vitriol of Abram.
Well, so that's why I think I prefer to see Abe in this spot. Like, rather than Abe being doing this challenge, I liked that Abe had no restrictions on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to give up Abe going nuts for all that time during the challenge for months.
PJ Goffin or Gauguin? Please correct me. I really like to know how you actually say your name. Okay. What do you guys think Mike's chances are of returning in a future season based on his performance in the pit last night?
He was very impressive. It was a strong showing. It increased more than I thought it would, but I still think he's more of just like Abram's sidekick. Like, I don't know what he would really offer on
his
own. So
he's like slowly releasing a blog on what I think is Abe's website, like soundcolor.org. Isn't that Abe's like
Abe has
like a creative space in Montana.
It's a creative space.
Okay. Anyway, it's a really interesting blog that's worth checking out. I got it from Mike's Twitter, but it's also on soundcolor.org, and it's called Should I Stay or Should I Go? And it's like a really detailed account of the night. Like, Abe called him like the night before they had to leave, and Mike was like his third choice. And he didn't want to go. He didn't want to lose his job. He didn't want to lose his girlfriend. Like, he really did not want to go. And after he accepted, he emailed MTV that he wasn't going. Like, he described this as a once in a lifetime thing. I don't know if he barely wanted to go now. I kind of think he might come back and be in a My Life is Fine place. Unless he got a taste of this and he gets the check and wants to come back. But I think for the most part, this isn't the life that he wants. But in terms of getting invited back, I think I agree with you that he increased his chances.
Yeah. I mean, I think the hardest for like a quote unquote normal person, I think the hardest thing for joining the challenge is doing it for the first time. And then once you're out there, he might just kind of get hooked on it and be like, oh, this was actually a lot of fun. I kind of want to keep doing this.
Albert, well, we got two, I guess a couple competing. There are two schools of thought here, and I pulled two questions that kind of say the two sides of it. Albert Vargas said, Abram is nuts, but is he legit crazy or is he faking being a hardo just a little bit? And then Curtis Barton said, can we put to bed Abram's claim on the previous episode that his craziness is an act? I felt bad for him, but he has some mental issues that affect his choices and behavior. So is it for real or is it a big fat lie?
There's a 0% chance this is all a fabricated persona. A 0% chance. But I think at certain points he does like build up a little bit, like play up a little bit for the camera, but he's also not a normal guy. So maybe like 80-20 crazy.
I think I learned more about Abe from this episode than I ever have from watching him on any other episode of TV he's been on. Like, I was so shocked later in the episode where he, like, it seems like one of the things he's really upset with is that Kara did this on TV. And Abe is one of the last people I ever would have expected to give a crap about what he looks like on TV, which leads me to believe that what he does on TV is how he wants to look. So he is very, very aware of image and has real feelings. And, you know, these He's are not things that I thought. So I agree with you. It's not fake. I would even put it at like 97.3. Like, I think you cannot fake this. Like, this is pure adrenaline craziness, like in your blood. But I do think that he is aware of everything he's doing, and if he didn't want to do it on TV, he wouldn't.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. If he didn't want to do it on TV, he would just stop doing.
Or I think he would be able to control it. Like, I just think he has maybe more control than he seems to have. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
But then there's always like, for all like the people who want to try to say like, oh, he does this for TV, like then. I feel like this is kind of like a making a murder thing, going back to the evidence. But then how do you describe him getting arrested and throwing his feces at police officers?
Well, that's why I have it at 97.3. All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, Billy Gross wants to know, how afraid are you to say something that might get Abram mad at you on the podcast?
I'm not worried that Abram is listening to Rob as a podcast.
Well, this, he may be listening to Rob as a podcast. He may not be listening to the MTV Rehab Up.
You think he's a big
Survivor
guy?
I don't pretend that we are Rob as a podcast.
I could see Abram on like Survivor.
That'd I think he probably just
be like, be
his
like
vacations are probably just like him naked in the wild anyway.
Yeah, naked and afraid.
I will confess that I did censor a tweet. I typed it and was like, yeah, better not. About him.
I mean, I don't normally. I like stop tagging people and like tweets just because A, like takes up more characters, and B, I just don't like need to bother them in their lives. But like, I would 100% not tag Abram in a tweet where I call him a lunatic.
Yeah, I never do either. And someone retweeted something I said about Abe. I think it was just saying how great I thought it was. I'm not in the right place was, and I'm just gonna use it to leave like social situation. Right. And she like tagged him in that, and I was like, I think that's okay. But yeah. I wouldn't, and I will not.
Like, I jokingly called Abram a high school coach who got arrested for attacking a player, and I wouldn't want that sent to him.
Nothing funnier than teenage traumas.
Right, exactly.
All right, so Nick Sabetta wants to know, and now I think it's clear, Stephen Thomas, go home. I'm transitioning into those questions. Nick Sabetta wants to know, what were your thoughts on Thomas's season? I didn't have the highest hopes for him after he got eliminated first last season, but he definitely exceeded my expectations.
I mean, what was his, like, his contribution was just being the one to hook up with Kara. But what else did he really do that was so
him
great?
And Steven were also, like, a critical part of the rebellion.
I don't know, I see that more as like a Corey-led thing.
Right, but it was Dario and Rafi, Corey and Mitch, and Stephen Thomas.
Yeah. But to me, they just kind of just felt like bodies that were just there, like part of the rookie thing. And then after he hooked up with Carr, he was just the one who did it, so that just brought the wrath. It wasn't like he did anything in this episode that was like funny or just like any person in that situation would be doing the same things he would be doing.
I don't know. I think he contributed more than I expected. I think just his willingness to go against bananas and talk out against people. Like, I think he does have that willingness but I do agree that I think Dario and Corey were the bigger stars of that group. The question I have is, will we see Thomas and or Steve again?
I think definitely we'd have a better chance of seeing Thomas again. Do you think in a Rivals 4 that Abram and Thomas would be together? Because, I mean, that could be something that would happen.
Oh, hard pass. I don't know. I mean, that's crazy. Yes, it could happen. Wouldn't put it past the world. But I don't know how they're getting Abe to agree to that.
We'll see where his life is in a couple years.
You're 100% right about Thomas having the best odds. And when we spoke last about Thomas, I said there was no way we'd see him again. And here he is. So I'm not confident in assessing him.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. Like, Thomas, like, didn't seem like much of an addition when he was on Real World, and now he was on a season with his ex and with his brother. So, like, people around Thomas are, like, benefiting greatly from his appearance
on
Real World.
Well, it is also, you make a great point, because he is really just fitting the themes, like, perfectly. He was on a season of the Real World centered around exes, and then it was an exes challenge. Mm-hmm. and then he is an identical twin, and then they have a bloodline season. So,
and his brother was on the Real World, so
like he was on the episode. Yeah. So I was like, "What season was that?" left on the cutting room floor. Yeah. So I don't know if he's just gotten lucky, and if there was like another free agent or non-themed challenge like that, if he wouldn't be thought of. But he, you're right. I mean, he has done a good job of getting a rival drummed up. He could even be on rival with Kara.
He could even be on an exes with Kara.
So we'll see for Thomas. If I never see him again, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, then we get maybe the biggest moment of the episode, when Kara is what stupidly thinking she's having an off-air conversation with her cousin about Abe.
I mean, at what point do these people realize they're never not being recorded? Ever?
It's such bullshit to me that she's like, "Oh, I took off my mic, and so I didn't think the cameras were on." Like, I'm so sick of hearing this from these veterans, like, year after year. It's so sad. Like, you are on reality television. I don't care if you're on Big Brother. I don't care if you're on The Real World. I don't care if you're on The Challenge. Like, it is their one job to get every single second. And film is, like, all digital now. It's cheap. Like, you know, like, there is no reason they will have the cameras off. Like, they will get you on the bus. They will get you in a house. They will get you with a mouse. Like, whatever you're doing will be on television. I'm so sick of them being like, "Oh, like, I thought the mics were off."
And especially coming from, like, people who've done these multiple times. Like, if this is, you know, Dario or Rafi doing something stupid like this, it's like, all right, you know what, maybe they don't really realize how much they're filmed. But Kara, this is like her 8th or 9th season. Bananas, a bajillion times he's been on. Like, how do they not realize they're always at every second, unless you're having sex in the bathroom, being
filmed? And they'll make it look like that, too. They'll get the sound bites, and they'll put it on the bottom of the screen. Like, you are not safe.
Yeah.
And you signed a contract saying you wouldn't be, so I'm just, like, sick of that. But basically what she says is she was going to leave him when she got home. It's unhealthy. She doesn't want to be with him, and she wishes he never can. And my thinking was, like, how do you not give him a heads up that you said that? Like, I guess she genuinely thought, like, it wasn't going to be aired.
Yeah, she thought, I believe her when she said she didn't think she was caught. It's just baffling that she thought that.
All right, so this was the moment when it kind of just transitions into the after show kind of naturally, that I thought this is when Abe reveals that he really does care about his image, because his main thing was like, "See, I just gave you an opportunity to correct it on TV and you didn't do it. Like, it has to be on TV."
Yeah, it was. This is go back to the editing that they start the after show with like a 3-minute countdown of Kara supposed to be going on stage and seeing them watching the episode. I mean, they need more of this, of like, before they do an after show, show us them watching it, especially when it's between like an exes or like a fight or whatever. They need more.
I
mean,
I just don't think that there have been moments that would be like, it's probably few and far between. Like, let's just say the last time they had an after show with like Nani and Bananas, right? Like, they're not going to, or actually they didn't have an after show for that, if I'm not mistaken, but.
Most of these after shows go in one ear, out the other, and escape.
Well, that's the point. So, like, I don't think there's anything really major that these people need to watch together. I think this is rare. That it'd be one thing if, like, Madison and Tony are in a room together watching Tony cheat, but, like, I don't think there are that often these kinds of moments where people would be fighting past a guard dog with a gun to watch this with someone else on the show.
Yeah, and this is definitely one of the kinds. After show,
one thing that bothered me is, so Kara and Thomas are on stage first, and they're like, "Oh, like, long time no see, like, whatever." And Tom is like, "I'm honestly scared for my life." And Kara's like perpetuating it, because she's like, "There's a guy with a gun outside his door and like a pit bull." And Jimmy tweeted out, "The money they pay for an after show isn't worth getting on stage with Abe. Tom is an idiot." Should Tom, like, I don't like that Tom's like, "Oh, I'm so scared for my life." Then, like, why are you there? If you're genuinely scared for your life, Jimmy makes a great point.
I think he is more playing it up. I think he knows that, like, or if they're in, like, in a back alley together, yeah, he probably wouldn't want to be with Abram. But, like, on stage in front of an audience with cameras and security, like, what is Abe actually going to do in that situation? Like, what, he's going to pull out a gun and shoot him? Like, come on. Like, that's not going
to
happen.
He could just pull a knife and make a swift punch to the face.
Right. But even said, then it's like, all right, so you got punched in the face. Like, all right.
That could kill you. You break someone's nose into their brain. I don't know. Okay.
One shot, son. One
shot. So one thing, Tom is a total shapeshifter. Like, he looks completely different from when he looked in real world. Then he shows up with this, like, grizzly beard and probably, like, 50 pounds, which only seemed to be in his face. And now he's on the after show with, like, a shaved head. Like, he just, for an identical twin, like, I've never seen someone look so different in a year.
Well, it's probably smart to try to change his appearance. Maybe he was hoping that Abram would think he was his brother.
Or it's just, like, a witness protection program that's, like, not doing great a job. It's pretty good. So people had a lot of issues with Zuri here. What did you make of Zuri, who's the host of the after show?
I didn't really think she did. Like, what did people want her to do? Like, she was asking questions that needed to be asked, like, to, like, perpetuate the drama and try to get, like, interesting sound bites. Like, I don't know. What were they hoping she would
do?
I'm
not sure. I just kind of think she folded here. Like, I think she literally had, like, normally I feel like she's more in control of the situation and she's going to insert her opinion. And now she was just kind of, like, reading off a stock list of producer questions, like, what attracted you to him? And she, and Cara's like, really? Like, I feel like she didn't have a choice but to ask the questions, but the questions demonstrated a lack of sensitivity to the situation. So I understand why people were rubbed the wrong way. I was rubbed the wrong way, but I'm willing to let it go because I think normally she's really great. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough spot. Like, I don't know, like, what she could have just, I don't know, really know what she could have done differently. Like, I wouldn't want her inserting her opinion into this because this is, like, obviously, like you said, a very sensitive situation. But I feel like if she started inserting her opinion and making it about her, that's where I would have been more annoyed. Like, I'm glad she kind of just, like, threw out a question and shut up and let them
talk. Right. And I didn't mean making it about her or anything or responding. Once I said that, I was like, but I just mean more like she's reading the room more and going off of her instinct. And I don't think she was doing that. That said, I think she was probably told she couldn't do that. You have to get these questions in.
I'm sure they also knew that this was going to be like a very highly contested after show, probably one of the more intense one they're going to do. So I'm sure the producers were even more in their ears and like, no, stick to the script.
Right.
Like, I'm sure like in a more boring, like plain one, they're like, all right, Zuri, just, you know, ask whatever you want, like have fun with this. And then, but it's like when you have Thomas sitting as far away possible from Abram and Abram storming off, potentially getting to getting scuffled with security, and then, but you don't know really what's going to happen. So like, this is like one of those you had to like stick to the script as much as possible.
Then we get like a really heartbreaking comment from Cara, where she's kind of saying like, I never have a reason to look pretty anymore. I never put makeup on. Like, I live between a horse barn and a kickboxing gym, and like, but I can't stay away from Abram. And that was like really sad to me, is like, that's why I don't think these are like abuse issues. I think it's just like, you know, she's tired of the relationship at times. And like, that's what this was. Like, she was acting out. Like, I don't know. Like, my heart goes out to both of them kind of separately.
Yeah, I think that it's like, they just need to go about their business and go separately and just do their lives.
It's not that easy, Brian. Come on. I genuinely mean, like, it sounded sarcastic, but it really isn't that easy. I mean, anyway.
It's still always weird when Abram just kept, even during the episode, he kept referring to Cara as the person I live with. Did you notice that? I thought
it was weird because Cara made it sound like they don't live together. Someone, I think it was Kristen Kinnear, tweeted that she was listening to another podcast and Cara was explaining that like she lived with Laurel in Montana and like made it sound like Cara didn't live with Abe at the time. But then Abe kept saying like, we live together. So it's unclear.
Mm-hmm. Who knows what
I think he was just trying to demonstrate like how serious it is to him. Like, we live together, like we have a home, you know. She said she was gonna buy a house with the money she won. I don't know. But I just, Cara keeps saying like, do you have security, like when they're about to bring Abe out. Like, I don't know what, maybe it was for Tom. It's like a lot to read on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of it's like, yeah, like she was like partially kidding, but partially like she playing it up a little bit. Like, it was a tough situation to read. Like, did she actually think Abram would come out and attack Thomas? Is she just like playing this up to make it look better for TV? I'm not 100% sure either way.
And then Zuri offers to show clips of Cara and Thomas hooking up. What did you think of that?
I'm surprised she offered it up. I thought they would just show it. Yeah,
I think that that's like clear. They would, no one else but Abram would get the option.
Yeah, that was a, like legitimately surprising that they would give Abram the option of even saying no.
And I love his response is just like to lighten it up. Like, no, I don't feel like killing that guy right now. Like, thanks, pass.
Or even like when he was going through like his reasoning for the bus speech, he was like, he like got really serious. He's like, you're a spineless little bitch. He pauses and then just starts laughing. He's like, yeah, that's like the general sense of what I was going for.
Callie W. Grodin said, which is what you touched on earlier, did anyone else find it funny that Vince was pretending to be noble when he told Abe about Karen Tom? What I didn't think was noble was Banana's performance here on the after show.
Yeah, I what did you really have? What would you have much of a problem?
Are you serious?
I had a little problem with him too. No, I'm just curious. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know why he was there. But like, once he was there, I don't know what, like, it was tough for him. Like, how, I don't know how he could have stayed
so
out of it.
So, it's not that he could have stayed out of it. I had, like, I finally was like, all right, everyone who's been telling me, like, I'm just biased against Bananas, blah, blah, blah. Finally, I have a moment where I can, like, truly 100% say Bananas did a great move. Like, this is what needed to be done. He saw an opening. He saw the cracks. His back was against the wall. He made a perfect play. Whether he told him, Vince told him, whatever. He saw the opportunity and he took it. And I thought that was brilliant. It worked out exactly as he wanted. Amazing move by an experienced veteran. Great job, Bananas. Then he has to ride his high horse into the after show and take, yet again, zero responsibility for the game move. I want you to come in and say, my back was against the wall. I saw an opportunity. I took it. He was going to find out anyway. He did need to know. So I'm sorry like that I meddled. But for me, I had to do it. And you would have done the same. Instead, he's like, well, someone had to tell him. Like, exact the same shit that you were saying Vince was saying earlier in the episode. Like, to come in and act like you helped him out in any way, shape, or form. And you've actually had the opportunity to watch the episode and think about it. And that's what you're going to say. I would have so much more respect for Bananas if he said, I'm a strategist and I'm a gamer and I did what I have to do. I'm sorry to see the result of this, but it's what I had to do. I would have so much more respect for him.
It is weird why he doesn't always own up to his moves, because he does, like, he owns up to them almost in the moment, like on the show. He's like, oh, I'm going to do this to blow up the alliance. It's going to be great. I'm going to be super strategic. And he kind of owns up to it on Twitter. He's like, oh, I'm like, this is what a mastermind move I'm doing. And then it's like in the, on like these after shows and reunions and stuff like that, he kind of whittles his way out of it. It's, I don't, he half-asses it sometimes.
Which is why I like Wes way more. Like, Wes is going to own up to it. Like, Wes is a complete douchebag, but he's going to own that he's a douchebag. And in real life,
right?
Like, I would prefer someone to be like a complete bitch who owns that they're complete bitch. You know, like, I don't like that he backpedals and he acts so holier than now. Like, take some credit. Like, now's the time to take credit and not be wishy-washy. Exactly what you're saying. Like, he takes it in the time and then tries to act like he's, I don't know if it's his girlfriend's influence. Like, I don't understand it at this point anymore.
No, it's a
did
weird
you have
move.
A different problem with him?
No, that was, I mean, I just don't really know why he was there. Like, that should have just been like a those three situation. Like, I get why he was there, like, because he was involved and he's Bananas, so he's going to be, anytime there's he's involved in any of these, he's going to show up to these. But it just felt like so out of place for him to even be commenting. Like, even he was commenting on, like, when Zori asked, should they even be together? And Abram's like, get the fuck out of here, because no one don't ask that question. And Bananas has to chime in on that. Like, I'm sure that didn't happen right away. I'm sure it was like, no, someone answer, and so he decided to answer. But, like, even that just felt like so out of place. Like, he shouldn't, like, don't even be there.
Yeah, I agree. I was confusing why he was there. Vince was completely worthless. And, which just shows that they know, like, Bananas mastermind Vince. Like, they're not just going to give credit to Vince for talking about it. Basically, Bananas is the one who has to be held responsible for telling him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't know if Bananas has a contract where he has to be at, like, 50% of the after shows no matter what happens. Like, no, I'm just kidding.
He's at everyone. Anytime there's one of these happening, he's remotely involved in the episode, he's there.
All right, so we have they both walk off. They both come back on. Okay. And it's just like, it's soul crushing here. Like, they're in love with each other. They're hurting. I think that's kind of where I'm leaving this after show.
Do we have it? Do we know where they stand now?
So Kara Instagrammed 2 weeks ago, or like before this episode, that like she heard him, she heard his family, she heard her family, and like they're working on it. You know, like apparently, I forget where I heard this from, that he's in Montana, but they're not living together. Like they're trying. I'm not 100% sure.
All right.
Bananas did have some funny tweets this week. Like, well, he wrote like, and that exactly what you're saying. And that's how you manipulate the game, boys and girls. And then he shows up on a live after show and is like, I didn't manipulate the game.
Yeah. It's just like, just stick to like one story. Like either be like, go all the way saying, no, I'm just doing this because I'm looking out for him, or be, which isn't the case, but just, or go out all the way and be like, I'm doing this because I was about to be voted in and this bought me another couple weeks.
But a couple of, I'm just looking through to see if I have that Instagram. Okay, I do. So it's when she posted that picture of the snake. And you're like, that's so Kara. And it's like, no, read the caption. we do have a question. When Kara confirms that Tom and her made out twice, do we get back credit?
No, wow. I just do it on the episode. Cause I don't really do points on after shows. And cause that's just like, hey, for the most part, these after shows suck. And I don't want them to be paying attention. Like this obviously was the exception. But I just stick it to the hour. And I gave them points earlier in the season.
Leaving the bathroom.
Looking up at one point. So
for leaving the bathroom. But that's not. Right.
No, I gave them kissing points.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. So she. I didn't even mean the after show. I know you don't do that. But she wrote that quote, Tom and I made out only twice, and it all happened in one very drunken day off. MTV is stretching something that happened a week later and putting it into this episode, so be it. Regardless, despite whatever was happening with my relationship at the time, I was still in a relationship. I made a bad decision. Please learn from my choice and never do this to someone you love. I've hurt someone I truly love. I hurt my family and his family. I caused pain to the woman Tom was with, which to me shows that they're not together anymore. I have so much regret and shame. I can't even begin to explain. I'm so sorry to everyone hurt by my actions. This is not the girl I was raised to be. We all make mistakes. Mine just happened to be on TV. Then she tagged Abram and said, my heart is yours. No matter what we do or what we say to each other, I always find peace in your arms. I could never apologize enough. I love you. I am truly so sorry. I only want you. I cannot change the past. I can only hope to have the chance to make a better future. So that's she's deep. Just working to get him back, I guess. But the after show was bizarre.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten from you the rant about how hypocritical this whole reaction is with how Carr is being burnt at the stake and Tony was just laughing it off.
I don't know that it's like Carr is being shamed. People were like, oh, they're slut shaming Kara. I don't know that Carr is being shamed for the action. I think it's more just like their relationship is what's being shown. It's like how Abram's reacting, how she's reacting, how they're moving forward, like how they feel about each other. Like, I don't necessarily feel like shame's being brought to her, besides from Abram, which is then we're talking about how he's dealing with her. So I don't know that Zuri was necessarily like shaming Kara, like she was just whatever to Tony, but the meat of this is their relationship, and I think she was just asking more questions about it. That was my interpretation.
Okay. Just curious.
Okay. Okay, some interesting tweets before I get to more questions about this. Robin.
Mm-hmm.
For any throwback people, said, I still find it humorous that all these challenge kids find Abram scary. He has always had a calming effect on me. What?
I mean, I fully believe that because Robin's also a lunatic. So I feel like lunatics calm down, lunatics.
Johnny tweeted out a milk carton with a missing persons ad for Thomas. That was hilarious.
Very funny.
Okay. Also, I did some looking into Justin Booth. He's an executive producer, and in 2009, he did a producer's blog about the Ruins, if anyone wants to read more about Justin Booth. Yeah. Abram tweeted, if I did anything in this life, good or bad, I lived it with gusto, wink face. Full of joy and laughter tonight, life's been a pretty spectacular show. Which to me seems like a suicide note. I'm not saying that in like as a joke. Like I was like waiting for in the morning, like Abe to no longer like exist.
Going out a blaze of glory.
Sounded like a sign off. Life has been a spectacular show. What?
Here comes the final curtain. Oof,
okay. And then Kara tweeted, dear all at MTV, the challenge cast members who are super nice to my face, but have many Twitter opinions. You have my phone number. Thumbs up. Tori Fiorenza, Brad's wife and former challenge competitor and road ruler, I believe. Right? She was on Road Rules.
Yeah,
let's be real. We have all had episodes slash moments we wish didn't air. Let them talk. Their day will come. Hashtag keep your head up. Some Steven advice.
There you go.
And then Kara tweeted, Abram is not a bad person. I am not a bad person, but so much no one will ever know. And she said, some of my MTV cast members, though, heart, you guys are real. Thank you, really. And then she promised she's not being physically abused, and that's what I have from her. So we have some questions.
Let's hear it.
Jessica Burton, do you think MTV should have put the domestic violence PSA at the end of the after show?
I don't know about it. I think maybe like an anger one could have been gooder. Like if you have an anger problem called
I really think the only problem is that he's like making violent threats. Like, I don't even think he comes off that angry. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he wasn't saying, I'm going to throw this across the room and bash it through your face, like, his temperament is, it's like those words. It's like the violent threat. Yeah. I don't think that a domestic violence PSA should be here because it almost seems like they're trying to say that Abram is violent towards Kara. And I don't think if she was physically afraid of him, she would have cheated on him on national TV. Like, I just don't think that that's.
And I mean, really, like, I mean, Abe never really threatened Kara throughout this entire episode, or even the after show. Like, the worst he ever, like, the worst thing was his, like, wording of, you're going to throw in Thomas and Steven. Like, that was just, like, kind of creepy, but that's not, like, domestic violence stuff.
Jacob Brabant wants to know, is this the most terrifying Abram has ever been? Also, I felt like Thomas handled himself on the after show, handled himself well on the after show. Agree or disagree?
He handled himself pretty decently. I think he said as little as possible, which I think is what you have to do in that situation, because you talking is probably not going to help the situation. In terms of Abram's, it's probably the scariest, right? I'm trying to remember the clips that they showed to trigger memories about, because he hasn't been on in a while, so this isn't like a season or two ago.
I don't think it was that scary. I mean, what he's saying, the violent things that he's saying are real, and those are scary. 100%. But you don't really see him like yelling at or being physical with Kara. So it's just two different things. Like in terms of the threats he's made against Bananas and Thomas, like that's horrifying. But
right. And also, to be perfectly honest, like Kara can not, I don't want to get to this point, but Kara could defend herself. Like she is not like a little frail little woman that you don't want to have to deal with the situation.
Yeah. I just think like, it's almost just like the two of them are both in the wrong, and I hope they work whatever they need to work out together or apart. Like that's just kind of, I didn't even think that their relationship issues were like the most interesting part of the episode. Like I feel bad that had to be aired out on TV for them, but it's tough. They're definitely a unique relationship too. Like that's the thing, is I cannot understand Kara or Abe for the life of me, apart or together. So it's hard for me to understand how they deal with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every season I'm expecting different things from it whenever they're on.
And it's also like, all right, so Kara's body language seemed fearful, right? Like she contracts in. But that's also how she is. Like she doesn't come for people. She can't really defend herself verbally. Like she tries and it's not that successful. And she's also ashamed. Like I think she's.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So I think it's hard to read her body language in one episode of television and be like, oh, she's being emotionally and verbally abused.
Yeah, I didn't read any of her feelings of her being scared and like wanting security to be in between them. It was more like, I'm just ashamed that I did this because I do actually love him and I know I screwed up.
I do genuinely think she was afraid for Thomas potentially. I don't think she was ever afraid for herself.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think she ever thought Abram would come for him, for her, but potentially he would do something to Thomas.
Jillian Nicole wants to know, did you think that Abe handled himself well on the after show? Do you think that Kara should have told Abe ahead of time what she said to her cousin?
I think she didn't know that would be aired. So like, why would you confess to something that you don't think would ever see the light of day? So I don't really blame her for not saying that. He didn't attack anyone. So yeah, I guess he did it pretty well.
Nick Sabetta wants to know, after this episode, is there a chance that we see Abram again in the future? Everybody seems to be legitimately scared for their lives. And I don't know if it's such a great idea to bring him back.
Yeah, there's definitely a chance we see him again. 100%. I mean, I don't know if he'll come back, but there's definitely a chance.
I also think, like, yeah, people are, quote, legitimately scared. But at the same time, I think, like, the people who know Abram know that it's not going to happen. Like, I don't think Bananas mm-hmm. would be saying the shit that he's saying right next to him, like, if he really thought he was going to, like, snatch him up.
Yeah. And as we saw, it seemed like the producers have a pretty good relationship with him. So, that's a plus.
Okay. Keith wants to know, has Vinny been the biggest disappointment? His drama this season is very teenage girl, and he's been performing terrible. Why should he return?
Yeah, he's been a bit of a dud all around. I mean, I feel like anyone who came in as Bananas Bloodline would always have a tough place because it's just such like a shadow to like overcome. God. But I mean, he hasn't done well in challenges or anything.
I said, but... oh God, I don't think it's a shadow to overcome. I think like Mike, for example, right? Like if Abe is a shadow to overcome, like. I think there's enough airtime for everyone. Like, I wouldn't say like, oh, it's because it's Bananas Bloodline. It's so hard. Like, I think Vinny's just not a likable guy. Like, that's the thing. He has been starting drama. He has gotten airtime. He's just so unlikable. And I don't think it has anything to do with like Bananas being his cousin or not being his cousin.
Right. But also, I don't think being unlikable is like a bad thing. I think you'd want people who are unlikable. But I think right now he's unlikable in like a, oh, this is like boring or bland.
But that's what I.
Like Wes is unlikable, but he's like a great person to have on the show. Like, yeah,
I don't mean unlikable, just like, oh, I don't like him. I don't want to hang out with him. I mean, like Corey says some real shit that I don't like, but he still has like a likable quality. Like he still has some X factor that makes him like interesting TV. And like, that's what you're saying mm-hmm. about Wes. Like, I just mean he is not likable and like, there's nothing redeeming about him that's interesting. Like, I just think he's a blob. Like there's just, want to root for him. I don't care enough to hate him. Like, it just, there's nothing keeping me invested in him. I have no idea why he's coming back, except for the fact that maybe because he's Bananas Bloodline.
I think that's a bigger thing, yeah. But I also stand by the fact that I'm not judging any of these people by their first season. I think it's so, when you're tossed into the ring for the first time, you have no idea, you're like, your head's spinning a million ways. I think you can't really judge any of them until they come back for a second time. And then it's like, okay, now we can really get a sense of who
I can judge are. Anyone. No, I'm kidding. I know. I totally agree what you're saying. I think it's pretty valid. But at the same time, there are standouts from the Bloodlines. Like Nicole, I'm not really worried about needing to judge now or not. Like, you know, there are people who you can see mm-hmm. in them what's going to be good. Shane. Exactly. What was I going to say? Vinny, to me, like, And same thing I'm saying, like, I do think his challenge prowess will go up. Like, we talked about that in the beginning. But I just think his personality is shit. mm-hmm. I'm getting mad just talking about
it. It's all fair. It's all fair.
Okay. Umberto Daniel Rudia Camargo. Also, can we please not praise Bananas for escaping elimination? This is a move that even Leaf would have made. To upset the status quo is not a brilliant mastermind like Banana said.
Shout out to the Leaf reference. Really digging deep there. I mean, you have to give him credit. Like, he did it. Like, I know you can say, oh, everyone would do it, but I also don't agree. I think a lot of these people wouldn't do it.
I think it was low-hanging fruit. Like, I think it was the obvious move. It's not like... I wouldn't put it on par when Wes got out of it with Leroy. You know, like it's not like mind numbing, like, oh my God, this was so brilliant. I didn't even see a way out. But I will give credit. I mean, it was a perfectly executed move to keep him in the game. Like, I don't think it makes him a mastermind, but I do think that he has other credits. And this is just another, he would have potentially been in this week. No problem. No question. So.
Right.
Edward Morris wants to know, have Abram and Anissa proven why the old schoolers do confessionals best this season?
I mean, I think Jenna's probably been the best confessional person.
I don't think she's the best. I think Anissa has been more consistent. And, well, you like Jenna's stupid lines of like, orange is orange and pink is pink.
Right. Solving racism,
I think it depends on what you like. Like, I think Anissa and Abram have like more intelligent contributions that are like funnier to me, but... I would put Jenna in third for me, but I think even maybe behind Bananas, I would put her in fourth.
I feel like Abram hasn't really had that many confessionals. I feel like most of his stuff was just
all
on the
John
episode.
Stuff are confessionals. Every time he called him John.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
One thing that's funny, the person I was talking to at work has a theory that Jenna is like actually could potentially have like the highest IQ of anyone in the house, but just like because of how she was like, she just misprioritizes like everything. Like, right. Like she has like so much potential that's just like unused. And I kind of get that. Like, I could see that.
I agree. A lot of her brain is unused. I agree with that part.
Emily Crow wants to know, Bananas claimed he saw Kara's alliance implode, separating the three pairs involved in this love triangle. What are the alliances at this point? Have the rookies lost their edge over Bananas? And who will Cara Maria end up working with now? Similarly, we got a bunch of requests, including from Alex Panda Moran, to know what we think the power rankings are this season.
Right. I don't really know. I mean, I think some of the rookies are still together. Like, I think Corey and, well, I guess Darren and Gunn Thomas, I don't really know who Corey's with. Yeah, so that's kind of gone. Vance and Baz are kind of on their own. I guess Anissa's with them. Kara's kind of doing her own thing. I have no idea what the hell Kellyanne's doing. I think Jenna's with Bananas, so I guess that's a little bit of a core. But I don't, yeah, there's nothing real like strong right now. It's kind of just seven teams.
I wouldn't say like Jenna and Bananas are a core alliance. And I don't think they're even that together. Like Jenna last week was like, oh, I thought Bananas was going to vote me in. Like Bananas had no allegiance to her. He was like, the only people I need to protect are Anissa and Nani.
It's really kind of just seven pairs.
Yeah. Do you think that's a result of like the bloodline that like everyone thinks they have their bloodline? So it's not as like important to find your real number two.
Yeah, to a degree. And it's also to agree that, you know, there was an alliance, but they all just got eliminated the last couple weeks.
I do hope that next episode isn't all about Cara and Abe again. Like, I hope we get to reassess what's happened in the house, because it did overshadow like how big of a flip this was to break up like the last remaining members of the like Thomas, Steve, Kellyanne, Corey, Mitch. If assuming Kellyanne was still with them even after Dario and Rafi left, like we didn't really get to see that. I think Anthony is emerging as an alliance member for Johnny, so maybe Kellyanne will flip. Speaking of which, Mark Solera wants to know, where's Anthony? I'm concerned he's dead or something.
He doesn't speak. He's a no-show.
But power rankings, I'd still have to put it 1, Jamie and Kara. 2, I would even put Mike and Abram. Because I just think Johnny is in such a weakened position that, like, no matter what's going on with Abe and Kara on the after show, like, Abe still hasn't seen that moment from Jamie. And I think Kara is still going to work with Abe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the three are the Bananas team, the Kara team, and the
Abe. In that order?
I think those are the clear top. No, I still put Kara 1, then Bananas.
I just think Bananas is just a sitting duck right now, especially with his weak partner. Like, that's the other thing, is Kara and Jamie, Abram and Mike can all hold their own in elimination. I don't know that Vince can.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see more from Jamie. Like, I can't even remember things. I think he's done pretty well in these challenges, right? But nothing's really stood out to me like that, if he's really that great.
You're right. I may just be overestimating him, but...
Because he's on the blue team who's lost every time. So I don't know, like, how... I'm not putting that all on him, but, I mean, he's not, like, that great.
So is Vince, but we'll see. It's been more public how Vince has been bad. Like, not public, but, like, I feel like it's more edited where we remember Vince sucking. Mm-hmm. Jamie fell this week too, though, I think.
I think so. But yeah, but even I just don't, nothing really stood out.
That's fair. Bananas is almost done. He's out of gas.
Out of gas.
What's left here? You know, he's just got, now he bought himself another week, but is it just one more week?
But here's the thing, like, he bought himself a week, but he really bought himself 2 weeks.
Right, because it's a girl's.
And, like, how many more guy eliminations are there? Like, there's 7 teams left. So I would say there's a chance you go to the finals with either 4 or 3 teams.
I don't
think
you go with 4 teams.
So let's say you go with 3 teams. That means there's 4 more weeks. So there's 2 more guys eliminations.
Yeah. So there you go.
So
he's got.
He'll probably be
gonna
one
be
of them.
Left?
So he has
Corey
to win.
And Mitch will be obviously are an option. And you just see, like, I could see Anissa, Corey, Kara, Abe, Kelly, like, I could see everyone left just being like, look, let's just get rid of Bananas. Like, no one has, he doesn't have his protection. He doesn't have people really looking out for him. And so I think the unifying factor could be everyone's just like, all right, fuck it. We've been waiting too long. Like, let's just get him out.
I mean, the Bananas playbook is he normally goes into the last elimination. Like, that's just like how it always plays out for him. So wouldn't be a surprise to see him in the last guy's elimination again.
All right. We shall see. Time will tell. That's all I have, though. I'm looking forward to it. Was that not enough?
No, that's plenty. That's plenty. Just we'll go through the quick fantasy. I mean, at this point, like,
no, let's go through it. Come on,
going through the motions. So the red team won elimination. I won the challenge, so they all got 10 points. Abram and Michael won the elimination, so they got 15. I only gave Nisa DQ points because she was the only one that said she DQ'd.
See, that bothers me because in other challenges, every single person who falls gets DQ'd.
I go by what pops up on the screen. And when Anissa quit, it said Anissa disqualified. And when everyone else fell, it didn't say disqualified.
That's some bullshit, but I don't care.
So I'm going with that. So Anissa,
ever,
minus
please,
10
nobody
DQ.
Ever responds. Like, please tell Brian that that's bullshit. But go ahead.
It's bullshit. Actually, it's not, they technically did not DQ based on the graph.
Okay.
Anissa also lost 20 points for making TJ disgusted with her. And then I gave Thomas, Kara, and Abram fighting points because I feel like it just had, like, they were like fight, like, they didn't really fight, but they
see,
were, like,
but this is then what I said about Tom, like, Corey last week. Like, I don't think Thomas fought. I don't think anyone fought.
Like, I had to give them something. I know, but I feel like
but
I just
had to give
them
something.
That's
how I felt about Kara. See, you're not consistent. Inconsistency bothers me. This is what I said. Corey, I was like, he was fighting the whole time. Kellyanne with Denise or whatever. And you're like, no, there was never a fight. There was certainly not fighting.
Hmm. Well, I gave Corey fighting points.
No, you though. Didn't. You're no, I'm talking about last week when it was the double episode. And I was saying the exact same thing you're saying. Like, he just had to have fought. Like, he did. Like, the thing with him and Anissa when he was at the bar with Kellyanne and Anissa. And you were like, no, it wasn't a fight.
He was dancing.
All right. Go back and listen to our own recording because you're saying the same thing that I said. And you're saying you can't point to a fight. You just feel like they fought. That's bullshit. Whatever. Inconsistencies.
Kara cried. And
I'm relying on you, the listeners of this podcast, to tell Brian what a hypocrite he's being right now, because it's really offending me and I just don't feel like wasting the time to argue about it.
Kara cried, Steven cried, and then everyone else.
When did Steven cry?
When he was very emotional about beer pong.
Oh my god, that's bullshit too. You're like really...
Hey, this I wouldn't have given him crying points. You're the one who said, like, if you're tearing up, that's crying.
Oh my God. Do you listen to our podcast? I said a welling is not. I mean, when we're doing it, welling is not crying. A cry is a cry. That was the whole conversation.
There was a tear, though.
Okay,
there was
I
a
don't
tear.
Care. I'm winning. I just no. even winning, more than I would rather lose and it be consistent than it be inconsistent and win, because it like that is like my pet peeve. But I don't need to expose myself anymore here.
You have 1,050 and I have 695.
And you've got a system that's like, a mess.
Right. who had limit this week? Mitch, Steven, Thomas. So they were both your guys, right? No, I had Steven, you had Thomas.
Now I see why Steven got crying points.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up 5 points at a time. Yeah, that's it.
You know, you do the closing, right?
I'm just saying that's it for fantasy. This is now our 61st show. Seems like a lot.
Yeah, I really need to go because I'm pretty pissed about the fantasy stuff. I don't have any more small chit chat to make.
You can subscribe at robinswebsite.com/Jones iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute, and they can follow
at
you
at Lash Tweets. Please and tweet at us, please, and tell me I'm not crazy about this challenge. Please. I need you guys. I need what? You.
Is it the fighting that's
everything
the most
you
agitating?
Just scored was completely inconsistent to how you've previously scored, that I can't get over it.
I feel like I try to maintain the consistency that MTV has with how it sends home people. It keeps you guessing. So you don't really know what's a fight
then
or a crime.
You're not a reputable source for this challenge scoring.
I mean, I never pretended to be a reputable source.
All right,
anything,
on that note,
so. See you next week. Have a good one.